Welcome to the Bloody Broads Pod. We're your Bloody Broads. I'm Bhavna Sharma.
And I'm Jimmy Howard. Welcome to this very special edition of Bloody Broads. This is a Patreon exclusive.
Yay!
We are covering 2022 Smile. Bhavna's going to have to fill you guys in on all the actual actors and directors involved because I don't fucking know.
Yes, no worries. I got that.
Good. So Bhavna saw it the day before I did. Well,
I saw it the day before it came out. Like, it was literally the midnight premiere. So long story short, Peter Kaplowski, who is the curator for Midnight Madness at TIFF, wanted it to be a Midnight Madness film because it was 1000% a Midnight Madness film. It fills that insanity. But he was like, fuck, because they already got the distribution. So what he did was he organized a midnight viewing the day before it came out. So technically it was the day it came out. What a flex. Right? It was great. It was called Midnight Dankness, which is a whole new tradition at TIFF. There was Seabiscuit, but set to Limp Bizkit's music. So it was Seabiscuit.
Yes, exactly. Playing right beforehand.
And there was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but set to like Sound of Music. It was phenomenal.
But it fits.
I was 100% sober. And I wish I wasn't because it was delightful. It was delightful. And they even gave us little baby bottles filled with almond milk. And it said, just drink it.
That was for Barbarian though, yeah?
Oh shit, that was Barbarian. Yes.
We're talking about Smile, which is a completely separate movie. We will talk about Barbarian.
We will talk about Barbarian. But also, you know, all of a sudden it's over.
No!
No,
don't turn it over.
Okay. I apologize. Smile, I saw about a week before you.
Yeah, so then Bhavna came to visit. This is Halloween weekend, so the weekend before Halloween 2022.
Yes.
And when I saw Smile, there was these like shit-ass teenagers talking in the first half of the movie.
Yes.
And I was like, can you guys fucking shut up? And they were like, can you chill? And I said, I'm not going back and forth with someone who's frontal lobe hasn't finished developing. So they shut up.
My hero.
They shut up and we enjoyed the rest of the movie. But I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I don't understand why people were giving it less than like 70%. For me, it's a solid 7 out of 10.
Honestly, for me too, it was about 7.5 out of 10 because I got to give the extra 7.5 to my brown queers. What up, Kal Penn?
That's what I'm saying is Kal Penn is in it and people didn't know that he was gay.
That's it. And like, sorry to go on a side tangent about
please, by all means.
But I absolutely love that he chose to come out at that point in his career.
Well, because he had just done that whole Marvel run.
Had he done a Marvel run, Kal Penn? No, that's Kumail Nanjiani you're thinking of, probably.
No. He hadn't joined yet, but yes.
No, but Kal Penn in general, like, I love that he had his total dude bro career where, like, a bunch of brown dudes that I knew.
Surprise, I'm gay.
Surprise, gay as fuck. But, like, I love that, like, he gave that chance for, like, brown people to see that representation in him, and especially brown males to see that kind of representation in him. And to be like, yo, he's just a bro like us. He just likes to smoke up like us. He just likes to, like, indulge in sports and be like a dude like us, and then be like, oh shit, he gargles the cock.
We fully support.
We fully support. But Smile, to correct myself, because Smile and Barbarian for me bled in together because I saw TIFF. I saw like a bunch of movies at TIFF in between. So apologies to everybody for my one brain cell.
You're paying for this, so we're not going to apologize.
Never mind. You paid for this privilege to see my brain cell malfunction.
This is our unedited version, so have fun.
Yes. But I did see Smile about a week before it came out. I did see an advanced screening, and we got that cute little Instagram or Snapchat little filter, which is pretty cool with the smile emoji.
Scared me. Can we talk about the marketing for a second before we get into the plot?
Yes! Can we?
So those of us in North America, during the MLB finals, they paid actors to stand behind home base.
Yes.
And be like, I look horrendous. If you took a screenshot, fuck you.
If you do, please Photoshop it and send it back to us.
Yeah, I look horrific. So they gave these girls t-shirts that just said smile, and it was like a pretty bright green yellow color. I mean, it was cheaper than paying regular advertising prices, from what I'm aware. I mean, I work social media for my day job, so I was like, damn, it's actually a really good idea.
Especially since I believe it was the actress that played Laura that was one of I believe so. It looks so much like her. I apologize, white people look the same.
We look the same. I feel like it was similar. I don't think it was her. So Laura plays the main girl, and she's a therapist, and she works at a hospital's sort of emergency psych ward.
No, that's Laura is the girl that comes into the psych ward. The Rose is the person.
Rose is the main character then.
And if you're playing 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, she's Kevin Bacon's daughter.
Is she?
Yeah, Sosie Bacon, I believe, is her.
Yep. Today I learned.
I don't know how to pronounce her name, but her name is Sosie Bacon.
Is it Saoirse?
Sosie Bacon. She's Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon's daughter.
Well, goddamn. She looks like...
She looks like their daughter, though.
She looks like Kira Sedgwick now that we, like, zoom in on her.
Yeah.
So she plays her the main girl who's a therapist.
Yeah, Dr. Rose Cotter.
Dr. Rose Cotter, which all I can think about is Welcome Back, Cotter. Very classic 70s American TV show.
Yes.
So, next time I talk to my therapist, I'm going to bring this movie up because she has this patient who commits suicide in front of her, which is very sad, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, asterisk, but.
Yes.
She finds out that it's a string of suicides that are related to this, I guess, demon?
It's this demon. They don't really explain it, and I kind of love that. I was discussing this with some of my friends that I saw it with afterwards, is that I kind of love that they don't delve into too many details of the demon, and they focus in more on,
same,
like, Rose's journey. Same. And, like, I would rather dive into her aspect of mental illness and what that means.
Well, I don't think it's mental illness.
No, but trauma and what that means.
Well, okay, can we talk about, we're jumping way ahead.
Yes.
So I thought at the end that we were going to get the whole, like, when she was giving the I'm sorry speech and she was like, I'm sorry that I put up these walls against you. And I was like, oh no, we're going to get the stereotypical trauma ending. And then we didn't because it was fake out.
Yes. Which, thank God, there were so many fake outs in this movie that I had whiplash.
There were four that I counted. Am I wrong?
No. There was the, there was the therapist in her house.
Yes.
There was the, her mom at the end where she thought she vanquished the demon and she went.
That was fake.
All the way to Kyle Gallner's house. And then there was another fake out in between that was like, her sister.
That fucked me up. Yes.
Her sister was a fake out. And I don't think, there were at least four. I think those were the four.
The very, very, very ending before she burned herself alive.
Yes, that was the fake out where she thought she escaped. Went all the way back to her. Yeah.
For me, this movie had a really good approach to how do we explain to those of us who have never had PTSD what it's like to have PTSD?
Mm-hmm.
I have CPSD. For those who don't know, it's complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which instead of like one event being an acute thing, it's a years-long exposure to trauma.
Mm-hmm.
We'd originally planned to release this on main feed, but now I'm like, maybe not.
Put this behind a paywall just to be safe.
Just because I want you guys to understand that, like, if you have someone in your life who's been through a very traumatic event for multiple years, like, the best thing you can do for them is just, like, acknowledge that it's real.
Yeah.
Which is what happens in this movie, right? Like, she's like, everyone's telling her that this isn't real. This person she's seeing with the evil smile who's, like, isn't real.
Mm-mm. And can we dive into that for a moment?
Absolutely.
The believing people when they come up to you with something.
Because it takes a lot of courage to be like, hey, I'm seeing this thing.
Like,
or hey, this thing happened to me.
Exactly. Like, I know you have experience with this, and I know I do, and, like, I know my family does as well, is that, like, my grandma, before she passed, like, with the meds and everything going she was seeing things that were definitely not there. And we know that. We know that. We know there weren't spiders on the wall. We know that there, you know.
Listen, if you've ever taken Benadryl as an American and tried to take a nap.
Oh, God.
You've seen the shadow people and also the spiders.
Yeah.
It's a trend on TikTok now. Like, that's the level of, like,
And, like, she was on morphine and stuff. But, like, it came to a point where we realized we're, like, it's harming her to have her fight against us.
Yes.
We should just believe her that she is seeing these fighters. Whether we do or not is irrelevant. She's seeing them. If it's something that can be treated, let's treat it. If not, like, let's just not discomfort her.
That was the hard part. My granddad is, like, so for those that don't know, my granddad was, like, nonverbal the last, like, month of his life. So he couldn't tell us what he was seeing, but he would always, like, look up into the corner. And I was like, oh, he's hallucinating.
Yeah.
But, like, who are we to say that, like, that's not...
That's it. And, like, because this is behind a paywall, Jamie and I are not...
We're very open
about this stuff. And we're very sensitive to things that people can't see. We see a lot of things that people can't see. But to, like, dive into my point here is that, like... She even says later to her fiance, who I can't unsee as A-Train from The Boys because that's Same. Who he is. But she goes to him like, I came to you because I was in danger and you didn't believe me.
I know. Same.
And I was in danger. Like she could have gone on a monologue at that point and said something along the lines of like, I was injured. Like all this stuff like she had.
I think that's what kills me about injuries. This movie. Yeah.
And all he can think of is like, well, I looked up mental illness. You can inherit it from a parent, and like you're acting unhinged.
That killed me when he was like, "Do you think that it?" So he says, her fiance says, "I looked this shit up. It's passionately," and she's like, "What?" And he said, "Do you think
like why would you look that up?"
Yeah, and he says, "Do you think I didn't look this up because of what I was hitching myself to for the rest of my life?" And as someone who takes SSRI, that's like my biggest nightmare. Like that my partner wakes up one day and decides like, this is too much to deal with. And you're like, oh shit. Like,
hell, I'm Indian. Do you know how many undiagnosed things I probably have that my mother has, that my father has, that my grandparents definitely had?
Right.
Or have, if you're my one remaining grandparent. But like, can you not believe that this stuff that is undocumented, like we take heart disease seriously. We take diabetes. We take PCOS even. We take all these other things seriously in terms of like family history of things. But there are so many undocumented mental health things that I know for a fact my family suffers from.
Right.
That we don't. So this whole, I'm looking it up and you could like inherit it from a parent just strikes me as so... ignorant, especially coming from a person of color.
Right, it does, because so he comes from the African American community, which I feel like we should have Jazz or Kat or Sheree on to talk about this, but like,
yeah,
I just
like, we can't speak to it.
Right, we can't speak to it, but even coming from like the white Protestant community, like there's a lot to be said for acknowledging when like prayer is just not working, prayer is just not happening. And I mean, even my own mother, who is very religious, you know, goes to a therapist, that kind of stuff. So the fact that no one believes her, which like, to be honest, like who's gonna believe her even in their right mind when they're like, hey, you're seeing ghosts. And she used the term like dark entity or dark energy. And her fiance is like, I don't know what to tell your therapist because this is next level.
Which, can we talk about a violation here? Like, I understand.
Oh, bitch! When she showed up at the house and it was the therapist and the fiance, immediate fight.
Immediate, like, I'm not, when she was like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to my fiance. I was like,
ugh. Because what we're not going to do is question my sanity when this is clearly something that's affecting me from patient to therapist.
That's fucking it. And like, to be honest. I got heated. And not the Beyonce song. But
that too.
But honestly, like when he called her in, first of all, what the fuck? Second of all, how dare you? Third of all, like, what a violation of trust. You don't believe me when I'm telling you I'm in danger, when I'm telling you this is what's up. But then you call but you believe enough that I'm fucking quote unquote unhinged.
Right. To call my therapist in.
And let's talk about those police officer. Sorry to switch tangents here a little bit.
No, no. So she dated a police officer, which I was like, girl, good luck with having a 40% chance of getting the shit bit out of you.
Especially a Jersey cop.
So for those that don't know, who are not in America, the, I want to say like 60% of domestic violence calls in America turn out to be like cop on spouse violence or cop on significant other violence, which... We're not making commentary on that. No. We're just presenting the facts. You're welcome to
the way Google. You interpret the facts is your own problem.
Right. So the fact that the only thing I didn't like about this movie genuinely is that her ex was a police officer and she kept going back to him and she was like, this is a safe space for me. And I'm like, well, I can speak from experience that like, that's not the truth. Like, that's not reality.
And I feel like just the fact that he was a cop was a deus ex machina.
That too, because let's talk about that. In a lot of North American horror, not just American, but Canadian as well, police officers present this level of like validity where they're like, oh, well, I saw this happen. And so the rest of the characters in the movie are like, yeah, well, that tracks. So we believe him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you've been in America since 2016, you're like, all right, that's not how this works at all.
No.
So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it because I know...
Like, I feel like the only reason he was a cop was so that we could, A, have him be in the plot without without having to have too much excess fat.
Yes.
But two, also so that he would have the access to figure out the links between the different cases.
That tracks.
But the thing that doesn't track for me is just the fact that he's just, like, so pissed... That she just shows up after treating him like shit. And you can clearly tell that they're ex-partners.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes like, all right, let me just look up this gruesome shit for you on my one day off. Like, you heard me laugh during the film. Like,
no,
I was
that's
just like,
100% accurate. You and I were both just like, okay, so anyways.
Yeah, and like, he just still looks it up. And the fact that it was such a bugaboo in his bonnet that like, he still... looked it up after she went away and stuff like that. And she's eating some weird burger.
She's eating some weird, like...
onion rings and burger in
her car. Yeah, so I just want to shout out the lady that, when I was going to get groceries the other day, like, used a Wendy's foil wrapper to, like, shield her eyes. Because I was like, wow, I felt that in my soul.
Yeah.
She's using this weird, like, burger and onion rings... I don't know.
Yeah, something combo.
To shield herself... And Bob and I were, like, losing it.
I'm also, like, and I'm sorry, and this comment might come across as fatphobic, and I am not fatphobic in any way, shape, or form. But, like, it's also, like, I'm sorry, I've never seen a person that thin eat like that. Like, I understand she probably hasn't eaten in a couple days, especially given the trauma that she's been through.
Right.
I completely understand, but like, I hate that trope in horror specifically where it's like you have the traumatized thin person eating a burger as if they're Fat Albert.
Well, okay, hold on. But that's what happens in the Cool Girl monologue in Gone Girl, where she's like, you eat a, you know, double Whopper, but you stay a size 2.
That's it.
And as someone who's a, you know, 5'2", size 4'6", like, that tracks. Like, that is a lot of...
And I'm a 5'7", size 12. Like, I'm not that much bigger. I used to be a size 16, 18, 20.
Right. Well,
back
and
in
I
the
was
day. And I eat a burger the same I did as a size 20, as I do a size 14, 12. Like,
that's what kills me is that, like, people don't realize that, like, the amount of effort it takes, you know?
That's it. That's the amount of effort that takes. And I understand, like, there was actually, I want to bring this up since it is behind a paywall and I'm not going to get the 5-star comments.
Hi.
Behind this. Hi, guys. Hi, like, 5 of you.
For now.
But, like, there was a scene where it was after she goes to the prison and she interrogates the one person that survived.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
And she has that, like, and I meant to bring this up with you earlier, but we're bringing it up in the recording. But she has that, like, thin girl, like, movie star stance where it's, like, she has her, like, tits, her non-existent tits, jutted out. And her hips kind of push forward to the point where her hips are so skinny.
Let me see if I can, like...
Let's see if she can do it.
That's it. I can't because my camera's not close enough.
But it's basically this situation. But imagine Jamie, but half her size. And Jamie's not even that big. She is a tiny bean. I love her. But like,
I know. Hold on. Let me like accurately represent what size I am next to you.
Please take a screenshot and send it back to us.
I know.
But like, what I'm trying to say is she had that very stereotypical Keira Knightley pose of like her hips are jutted out and I can see her bones through her jeans. And she strutted back out. And it took me out, I'm sorry, as a former much bigger kid, and I'm still not going to say I'm skinny kid.
You're like, shade size now, though.
It fucking freaks me out that I can shop in a non-plus size section.
We went to Target this weekend together now that she's in Atlanta, and she's like, oh, yeah, I can
shop in
shop here now. Size. And I'm like, welcome. Weird.
But either way, what I'm going to say is, like, even in horror, like, I understand we get the emaciated trope where, like, you know, look at your rings, look at your The Grudge, look at any 100%. Kind, look at your fourth kind, look at your, like, whatever, you get the emaciated person. But, like, in this case, she's just a doctor that works 80-hour shifts. Like,
the fact that her husband is, like, she would work for doctors even if it was free. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Because women are always expected to sacrifice, like, the most.
Whereas we don't even know what the fuck he does except for not be supportive of his fiance.
That's what I'm saying.
To be quite honest. But to get off my sidetrack of the point here is, like, no offense against Sosie Bacon. None at all. She did do some great acting in this movie. I do have to admit that. I did feel for her as someone that was unraveling from their sense of reality. But I do want to take a moment to talk about Culpepper, if I might.
Same. Please. Please.
I know we talked about his queerness before, but let's talk about him in this film.
We're here for it.
I fucking love his movies. Like, I'm into dude bro horror. I'm into dude bro comedy. Please, if that makes me problematic, whatever. Sign me up. Yeah, sign me up. Like, I'm sorry. I do love. And he is the epitome of dude bro comedy. No. So does
he did Harold and Kumar, right?
Yes, he did. Like, I quote, like, oh, we've gone too far.
We say that all the time. You guys don't know that, but Bob and I will be like, oh, we've gone too far.
But, like, I love his work. I love his comedic set timing. I love the history behind his stage name.
Same.
Like, I hear you, Kalpan Modi. I love you, Kalpan Modi.
We want you to go by your full name.
Please. But I understand why you don't. Like, understand why you don't. Because, trust me, I have a hard enough time getting a barista to write down Bhavna. Like, I understand. I understand. But I just want to say, like, please make this your foray into being a Scream King. Like, I know you've tried your hand at drama. I know you've tried your hand at, I mean, you reign at comedy. And listen, turn those White House Diwali invitations into your Scream King moment.
That's all we want for you.
That's all we want for you. Because that scene where it's the fake out of her killing the other patient, the one that's like, he's going to die, she's going to die, like, oh, we're all going to die.
That was crazy. Stab,
which I was going like, you know what that reminded me of? You know when babies scream or like cry and then you cry back at them and then they kind of stop? That was what that screaming, that mutual screaming kind of reminded me of.
So that reminded me of the hospital scene in Scream 5 when she was checking on her sister.
Yes. Exactly, where it's like,
I'm sorry, you guys, I have hiccups.
She does, so I'll take the reins on this one.
Please.
But yes, it does remind me of that scene. But Culpepper in that scene does this thing where he's like the Goya painting, where he like rips his face down.
That fucked me up.
And it's foreshadowing later when like the demon rips her fucking face or its fucking face off. It's
question mark.
And it's got, like, the multiple jaws, and it's, like, devouring.
That scared the shit out of me.
To be quite honest, yes. It did. I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, because I was so invested in her escaping and getting some goddamn sleep.
She needed it. She was exhausted. Which, like, same.
Honestly, this movie was one of those ones that started out as a horror short. It started out as Laura Can't Sleep.
Oh.
And Laura was the patient that came in, the one that saw her professor bludgeon himself to death.
That tracks.
Gabrielle. Gabrielle. Great man we never got to meet except for in weird pictures in someone's house. But
oh, and then like when Carla from fucking Scrubs was his wife.
That is Carla from Scrubs.
I love Scrubs. Face. Yes.
Except Zach Braff, please date people in your own
age. Your own age range, not me.
Please do. But regardless, fuck man. Call Penn, please just become a Scream King. I beg.
We love you.
I plead. We love you. Please. Hearts. Hearts, 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 hearts. I love good Jew food. Please be a Scream King. But back to the movie for a second. I just want to talk about really quickly about the ignorant language towards mental illness.
Please, please.
I really didn't like that a lot of the ignorant language towards mental illness came from a lot of the people of color, specifically the African-American black.
That bothered the show.
Cast. Yes, of the show. Like, you got the, what really didn't sit right with me, which I understand can be realistic depending on where you're from, and not everybody is the same, and we can't paint everybody with the same brush, but the detectives that were interviewing.
Oh, Rose, that bothered the shit out of me.
Yeah, you had Carl Gunnler that was clearly caring more about Rose because he used to fuck her, let's be quite blunt here. But the black or the African-American, however you want to phrase it, detective was like, oh, she was, she had a few screws loose. A few screws loose, right? Like, she was clearly unhinged. Like,
that bothered the shit out of me. I was like, girl, that's not what we asked.
No, and then what makes it worse is that then you have, again, A-Train, I forget his name, Jesse something or other is the actor's name, I apologize. But her fiance, who then says things like, who then doesn't, listen, you're paying for the hiccups. It's premium hiccups. Like, listen, pay more if you want to hear more hiccups. But you had him then not believe her, but then also say things along the same lines as, like, you're unhinged, you're crazy, you're acting crazy right now. Did you break another glass?
So that bothered me because as someone who, it's no secret, I take SSRIs, I take Lexapro. It is my biggest fear to, like, wake up one day and my fiancé, boyfriend, we're not officially engaged yet, to be like, oh, I can't handle this anymore. I wake up because we ate spicy shit for brunch. Sorry, guys. But truly, like, that's, I feel like, so many women's fear.
That's it. And, like, as someone that, like, I don't take SSRIs, I probably should at some point. I do. I am not medicated, but I probably should.
If you're watching this and you've been wondering, do it. That's great.
I probably should be, but that's a whole, like, battle between my benefits and my employers at the moment, to be quite honest. That is where my issue lies. However, but as someone that knows that something ain't quite right with me. Whether that means it's a chemical imbalance, situational, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, like, if I go to someone I trust enough to marry.
That's what I'm
saying. And they don't believe me. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but I know a couple of people, and I have known a couple of people in my life that have been in relationships like this where they have to kind of hide the degree of their mental discomfort or their discomfort in general in life. Like, the way that she has to, like, hide the fact that something traumatic happened at work.
Yeah. That fucked me up. And she's a therapist, so, like, she's seen it, you know?
And it broke my fucking heart every time she had to apologize for telling what was on her mind, for telling what she saw, for telling anything to do with herself that wasn't surface level or cursory.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Like, and I have known friends in relationships like this, and it breaks my heart every time.
Same.
It breaks my heart every time because I'm like, you deserve better. You know better. No person is worth having to, no relationship. Let me put person aside.
Well,
no relationship is worth. No relationship is worth you having to simplify what is going on with you for their comfort.
So,
which only makes this whole movie worse.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and give my final thoughts on this because it's long.
Yes.
So she eventually kills herself by lighting herself on fire. Oh, this hiccuping is going to annoy the shit out of me later.
Yeah, because you're the one that's going to have to edit.
Yeah. So her lighting herself on fire is eventually how she kills herself. How many women do we know that, like, burns herself?
Oh, God.
What's the phrase? Like, you light yourself on fire for others to, like, have the warmth?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something along those lines.
I don't know. I feel pretty strongly about this movie. I don't know. I felt that she truly was mentally ill. And it didn't matter how many medications you gave her. She was going to keep seeing that demon. And she's eventually going to commit suicide or die by suicide. And
the inevitability of that horror.
Right. Which is what we always say is the horror.
Yep. Oof. Okay. Well, I enjoyed this movie enough to see it 3 times.
Correct.
In theaters. I enjoyed it with each passing. I obviously don't think it's a perfect film because, again, I could have done without the language surrounding mental illness, which I know is not ideal. I know that's not real life, but that much of it is also not real life. If I got a sprinkling of it, sure, but if it came from, like, almost every angle, not so much. If anything, it endeared me towards Cops more than any other film because Kyle Gallner is an ideal. Which, Scream King, please watch Jennifer's Body. But
we love.
We love. We stan. Karen Kusama, we love you.
Come on the pod, please.
But what I mean to say is that, like, this movie, for an original IP, not something that rehashed, we love a Scream, we love a Halloween, we love a Candyman, we love all that shit. That's going to draw us into the theater anyway. But, like, original IPs like this and Barbarian, which I embarrassingly mixed up with at the beginning of this episode.
Listen, I love Barbarian, so no shade.
Honestly, I saw Barbarian at the beginning of the film festival, and I saw Smile at the end. So you really could have. And they're both original IPs. Basically, this movie for an original IP gets a solid 7.5, 8
Same.
Out of me. Because the plot was great. I loved how little we knew of the actual monster. Like, absolutely loved how little we needed because it was a character-driven movie.
It's a good year for giant women in horror.
Yes, give me that mommy horror.
If you've seen Barbarian, you know.
And please look up Brian Fuller's description. Of the monster in Barbarian.
That slayed me.
That I had to pause the episode, to be quite honest. To ring myself back in. To rein myself back in. Oh my gosh. I know English. English is my second language, but I do know
Doesn't
it.
Doesn't matter. It's fine. They know what you mean.
They do. And they paid for it. They paid for these kind Welcome. Of flaws. Welcome. But this movie was great. It was much better than I anticipated it to be. It kept it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. It kept it simple. Yes. I don't need a sequel. I don't need a prequel.
Please don't do that to us.
I don't need any further explanation.
We're good, you guys. Don't do that to us.
Unless you want to dive into, like, do a drama on Dr. Morgan Desai's life.
No.
Okay, even then. But I would love for Kyle Penn to lead a horror movie.
That's different. Yeah.
I would love for him to lead a horror movie and just heart and be better than he is in American Horror Story.
Please,
right
we're begging.
I don't need him to be a cop. I don't need him to be a medical professional. I don't need him to be a lawyer. I don't even need him to be Kumar. I just need him to be him.
Yeah, same.
Honestly, I would give it about a 7.5, 8 out of
That's
5.
That's what I gave
out
it
out of 10,
on Twitter.
Sorry. Oh yeah. My gosh, not out of 5.
I knew what you meant. Out of 10. That's what I gave it.
Honestly, yes. We'll probably not be able to see a movie together like this until, like, 2023, but...
So enjoy it while it lasts.
Yes. Any further thoughts for you?
No, Jamie? Thank you guys so much for subscribing. We look a mess. Well, I look a mess. Bob Nell looks amazing.
Listen.
Thank you so much for subscribing. Happy Halloween if you're watching this live.
Yes.
And thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.